Welcome to the Divided Kingdom evening news program. We're coming to you live tonight at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. It's Wednesday, May 15th. This program will also air on WWCI.com Thursday, May 16th at 8 p.m., again Eastern Time. Also, on their shortwave, 4.840 megahertz. Last night's program talked about New World Order assaults on our food. And we gave you the news of Senator Ron Johnson's letter, along with the supporting signatures, as the entire GOP senators told Biden to drop the World Health Organization World Pandemic Treaty.
Yes, and this is Elizabeth Coppock-Caverly and my wonderful co-host and head of our home, Lou Caverly, and we're so excited about this report of the letter to Biden, aren't we, Lou?
Yes, we are, and I didn't mean to leave you out, Elizabeth. And we'll recap in brief some of those details from that very letter. And if you want to hear the whole letter, visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and go to the listening archives from the May 15th program. Then we move right into the cutting edge and warning news. So we'll begin with some
The recap of the letter.
Yes, that's right. This is from Fox News, their summary. All GOP senators press Biden not to support expanding WHO pandemic authority. Republicans say WHO's new pandemic response treaty is dead on arrival. By Julia Johnson, Fox News, May 2nd. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, led the entire Republican Senate conference in calling on President Biden to reject agreements that would expand the authority of the World Health Organization, WHO, in the case of a global pandemic. Quote, "We strongly urge you not to join any pandemic-related treaty, convention, or agreement being considered," unquote. At the 77th World Health Assembly, and that's the way the letter reads, sent to Biden by Johnson and all 48 other Republican senators. The Republican senators stressed that any such agreement would be considered a treaty, which they noted requires, quote, "the concurrence of two-thirds of the Senate under Article 1, Section 2, of the Constitution," unquote. The World Health Assembly, WHA, will take place from May 27th to June 1st, and international agreements are expected to be considered. The WHA is the WHO's decision-making body, which meets yearly so it can lay out its goals and craft policies between the 194 member states. The senators emphasized the U.S., quote, "cannot afford to ignore this latest WHO inability to perform in its most basic function and must insist on comprehensive WHO reforms before even considering amendments to the International Health Regulations, IHR, or any new pandemic-related treaty that would increase WHO authority," unquote. The Republicans claim that the latest draft of the WHO's new pandemic response treaty is, quote, "dead on arrival," unquote. And a, quote, "revised draft of the negotiating text of the WHO pandemic agreement," unquote, from March detailed significant coordination and compelled information, technology, and resource sharing with a significant emphasis on, quote, unquote, "equity." And the quote continues, "instead of addressing the WHO's well-documented shortcomings, the treaty focuses on mandated resources and technology transfers, shedding intellectual property rights, infringing on free speech, and supercharging the WHO," they wrote. And that's the summary.
Yes, we don't
Fox
want
News.
That world medical police state imposed on us.
That's exactly right. We do not want that.
And now you're ready to go to a completely different topic, but it's just as important.
That's right. What topic is hotter than this? The illegals flooding America. Here we have from the Boston Herald, "Migrants on Move, Blindsiding New Town."
And again, we thank that Northeast contact person from our listeners, who is very helpful, who first alerted us to those first 40 shelters that were covert.
That's exactly right. We do thank him very much. He's kept us informed of this matter, and it's a microcosm, really, of the entire United States. But it's very clear what's happening when you read about the Massachusetts situation.
Well said, Lou.
And this is by Lance Reynolds, again from the Boston Herald. The date was April 25th, 2024. Migrants are being moved out of a Yarmouth motel and off of Cape Cod, but an official in a South Shore town set to house the families next said the state did not give a heads up on the transfer. After residing in Yarmouth since last September, roughly 39 migrant families have started to clear out of the popular summer vacation beach town, with some being moved to Kingston and Boston, and others to additional shelter sites across the Bay State. Gardner disclosed, and Gardner is, let me see now, that's in a little portion we skipped there, Jay Gardner, Yarmouth's Director of Public Health. And he disclosed that Kingston and Boston are two locations set to bring in the families during a select board meeting Tuesday night. Kingston Town Administrator Keith Hickey, confirmed to the Herald yesterday that his town of roughly 12,000 residents nestled along the South Shore, had started to receive several migrants.
No, it's just like musical chairs, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Maybe it is there to confuse us. And we remember an ecclesiastical relative of yours who's in that area when we told the person about them bumping people out of the Yarmouth. It was kind of a motel, I think, kind of a place where people who were elderly had been there for a long time and they had low rent, but they were bumped out. And your relative said, that's a lie. But I think that person, if the person is still reading the Boston Herald and all the things that have happened, that person might have to face up that the ecumenical Christian church movement has not been as wonderful as that person thought.
Well, that's well spoken, too. Yes, very much so. We have a picture, by the way, that shows a school bus seen picking up people at those Yarmouth sites called the Harborside Suites. That was the name. I guess it's like a motel, as Elizabeth said, where the migrant families have been staying. Now, Mr. Hickey, who again was the Kingston Town Administrator, had this quote: the town wasn't notified about the people coming from Yarmouth, he said in an email. Town officials in Yarmouth received word earlier this month that all 39 migrant families staying at Harborside Suites would be relocated to, quote, various shelters.
Alert, Lou. Alert, Lou. And to all of you listeners out there who depend on the divided kingdom, to bring you the news that is suppressed, that is hidden, the news that represents warnings to you to prepare. And we are not just a secular program. We do know that there are signs of impending judgment on this country, especially on this country, we believe, because of those 60 million abortions and many other things. Probably we are the leader in the LGBTQ gender mutilations for children. I'm not sure about that, but I think that we're now ahead of the UK in wanting to do that, so that many of you cannot find out the things that we are presenting to you, you can't find them out on the MSM, the mainstream media. You really can't, because everything now is talking points for the reprobate mind. So if you do value this program, and remember, you do not have to listen to incessant commercials every 3 to 4 minutes. If you do value this, please help us. At this time, we could use some cash or money orders. And we could use, if you want to make a check out, to Global Star Communications. Again, that's Global Star Communications. And Lou himself has had a great many expenses lately with the communications we had to send out and with the toner running out, with various things that relate, the phone, the little phone we had to buy. So if you want to help, you can send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, we do hope that some of you will keep requesting our book, COVID and Coming Chaos. You know, we tried to send some to Chicago, and that we know that area is the Obamaland territory, and it came back, and the zip code was all cut out of the envelope, actually cut out, and they couldn't deliver it. But when our good local post office group looked at it up, the zip code was fine. So we have to know that there is sort of a pattern, perhaps of sabotage, not just of the food supply, but our ability to have freedom in our thoughts and in our papers. What amendment is that, Lou? Is that Amendment 4?
What are you referring to?
Where we have freedom in our papers, our own papers, you know, can't be molested.
I believe that's Amendment number 1, but I'll have to look that up.
Yes. So, you see, all these things are under attack. And so you do want to have this book because there are beautiful color plates in it. Baphomet, the rainbow flag flying in front of the White House, the Vatican injection coin, the vaccine coin. You didn't know about that, did you? The Pfizer factory under judgment, it looked a lot like the Georgia Guidestones after they crumbled. So there's a lot in the book. So do just request the book. Send us your new book, please. And if you can put a few $1 bills in or a $5 bill to help with postage, that's fine. And if you can't, do not worry about it. So we're now telling you that these people in the next part of Massachusetts, we're not informed that the wonderful welcome wagon to the illegals was coming, were they?
No, they weren't.
Read that little part again. Let's emphasize that.
Yes, Mr. Hickey said in an email, quote, "The town wasn't notified about the people coming from Yarmouth," unquote. And let's see. The motel that is the one in Yarmouth sparked controversy by housing families since last September, a violation of a local bylaw that limits temporary stays to less than 30 days. So you see, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. That's quite a few months. That's a whole lot more than 30 days, I would eject.
Yes, it is, Lou. And again, to interrupt, we can see there is an analogy, a correlation there. If we were to get the World Health Organization pandemic planning global treaty instituted, then our local medical personnel would not be able to make decisions. They would come under the aegis of the World Health Organization's power. Pardon me. So we can see this to a lesser degree there happening in Massachusetts right now. The local laws were not honored. Isn't that correct?
That's right. And in keeping with that, we have this statement. The State Housing Office earlier this month declined to disclose to the Herald, that is the Boston Herald newspaper, what towns and cities would be hosting. You like that word, hosting, don't you, Ellen DeJack?
Oh, yes, I really like that.
The families from Yarmouth, citing confidentiality.
It's a party. Remember how they had the tuberculosis case of the little baby that was spitting blood covered up?
Oh, yeah.
We're having a party with a lot of disease and a lot of perhaps hidden bayonets and things. If some of them are from the Middle East, who knows what? Suicide bombers, all the equipment is in there. It's not just a prayer rug, is it?
It is not, no. Goes on to say, the office, that is to say the state housing office, did not immediately respond to a Boston Herald inquiry on the state's process.
Oh, gosh, are we surprised?
No, I was just going to say that. You beat me to it.
Oh. Great minds think alike, and even lesser minds, too.
That's right. And anyway, they didn't respond to the Boston Herald's inquiry on the state's process of informing municipalities ahead of the arrivals. Sounds like there is no process. But going on, Kingston was in the early spotlight of the Massachusetts migrant crisis in October 2022 when it initially received 107 migrant families at a local hotel. The town, along with Plymouth and Methuen, did not receive advance notice from from the Baker administration about the emergency housing situation.
Now, Lou, doesn't that just upset your historical sense? Here's cancel culture in a less benign form, Plymouth. Plymouth. Remind the listeners what Plymouth brings to our historical consciousness, our collective American consciousness.
Well, needless to say, the Pilgrim fathers and mothers landed there. In fact, they decided to put the settlement there after deciding that out on the edge of Cape Cod was not such a good place near Provincetown. No good place to plant, not many trees, so they went across Cape Cod Bay and landed at Plymouth, and the rest is history. They found a very good situation there. For years and years, they had peace with the American Indian tribe of that area, and now...
What a wonderful, succinct history lesson you just gave us.
But now we have the migrants being shipped in against any knowledge by the town fathers and mothers. And one last closing comment, Mr. Hickey, and again, Mr. Hickey was the town administrator for the town of Kingston, which I believe is near Plymouth. He said, a heads up would have been nice, Hickey told the Herald at the time. This was back in 2022. Expressing his frustration with state officials.
And what's the old Abraham Lincoln quote about fooling the people?
I think it goes something like this. You can fool all the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time.
I think that's a good ending parable for the Massachusetts situation.
Yes,
anything
I think
more,
you're right.
Lou?
That's all for that one.
Oh, but you know, Lou, we can't just drop Massachusetts. My word, because not only do we have that agenda that you just informed us on, but we have within the Massachusetts legislature, we have the Benedict Arnold. And this is a hotbed for the takedown agenda. This was the Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft, April 30th. Massachusetts House Democrats vote against bill to prioritize homeless veterans for shelter, argue that illegal immigrants need more support because they don't speak English. Last week, a contentious vote took place in the Massachusetts House of Representatives where a bill aimed at prioritizing U.S. military veterans for shelter assistance over illegal immigrants was defeated. The bill, known as Homeless Veterans Prioritization for Shelter Assistance, was rejected with a vote of 27 to 129. The majority of Democrats opposed the bill, while all 25 House Republicans, along with two Democrats, supported it. The Amendment 698, introduced by Republican Minority Leader Bradley Jones as part of House Bill 4600, was intended to give homeless veterans preferential access to the state's Emergency Housing Assistance Program. Despite the support from Republicans and a small faction of Democrats, the bill was heavily criticized by other Democrats as a political maneuver. The Democrats believe that migrants who come across the border illegally deserve more treatment than veterans who have literally put their lives on the line for our country. The opposition from Democrats was partly based on the argument that non-English-speaking illegal immigrants require more substantial support due to language barriers. Quote, they have the advantage of speaking the language, most of our military folks, so this folks that we're really working on may not have that. They had an error there. It should have been these folks. So it's going to be really difficult for them to say, yes, I used to be an electrician in my country. I'm just using mine, which is Somalia. But that might not really fall into our laws that we have in this country, said one of the state representatives. Now, we've got to look at that. One of those state representatives, you see, is probably an emigre from Somalia. And we're going to have to bring up, probably this is a very reputable, good Democrat in Massachusetts, but there was a lot of trouble from the Somalians a couple years ago. We reported on that, Lou, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
There was a lot of disorder.
Violence.
There was some violence. I don't remember whether anybody got killed or not. I think in some of the parks up there. Newsmax reported, Oh, and you know, going back to that representative, that person says, you know, it's going to be so difficult for them to say, I was an electrician in my country, and so he's using his example from Somalia, the language barrier. Don't you think that's just so pitiful, Lou, that we can't get enough translators there to give these illegals a job?
Oh, that's so sad. Seems as if maybe
I think Biden ought to put up a couple more million for translators, and they'd be roving translators instead of the COVID vax vans, the mobile vans. They ought to have these language translating vans moving all along, and they ought to have some special TB treatment vans probably accompanying them for any of those migrants. You know, we were told that if there was any TB, it wouldn't matter too much because the people will give it to each other in the shelters. But you astutely pointed out what happens when they start moving all these illegals out, giving them their permits, their work permits and everything. They're going to be in our whole society, aren't they? You know, what goes around comes around, doesn't it?
It does. They're going to be in Plymouth and Kingston, Methuen, and all those places like that.
That's right. So we have a lot to look forward to if we keep this agenda up. Newsmax reported back to the Gateway Pundit, Governor Mara Healey had previously said the state lacks the space, services, and funding to provide shelter for more than 7,500 families, according to Newsweek. Massachusetts has spent nearly $1 billion. Did you hear that, listeners? Not million. $1 billion on state-run shelters for families and migrants, the Boston Globe reported. Representative Gerard Cassidy, the Democrat co-chair of the Joint Committee on Veterans and Federal Affairs, told the Fall River Reporter the bill was a political ploy and a bill for veterans will be coming out in May. Lou, do you really think that they're going to spend $1 billion on the veterans?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
What do you think? Maybe $5 million?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe $2 million?
Maybe.
And Gateway Pundit goes on to say Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who has moved migrants from his state to the Bay State, called the vote insanity. Quote, it must end, Abbott said on X, formerly known as Twitter. Quote, illegal immigrants should not be prioritized over our veterans who served our country. Yay, that's a point that we really do agree with Abbott on, don't we?
It is. You know, sometimes, once in a while, I get a little homesick for Massachusetts, but not for long.
No, you don't, even with all the heat in Maryland in various ways.
That's right.
House Democrats, going back to the article, in Massachusetts also voted down a bill that would install a 3-month residency requirement for family shelter, prioritizing state residents on a wait list, the Fall River Reporter said. According to Pew Research Center in 2021, there were 220,000 undocumented workers in Massachusetts, which is about 5.5% of the state's workforce. This means that undocumented residents accounted for 4.3% of the population in 2021, which is an estimated gain of 120,000 undocumented residents since 2010.
And let's not beat around the bush here. They use this word undocumented. It really means illegal. It means they've broken the laws of this country to come here. And yet we are giving them every kind of privilege imaginable, over and above what we give our veterans, what we give our own homeless that have lived here all their lives. It just doesn't make sense. Not
but it does to the World Economic Forum. It does to the United Nations. It does to the World Health Organization. It does to all the secret societies, including the Freemasons and the Jesuits and those Italian Illuminati, whoever they are, and even those, I don't like to use this term, Zionist, I'd say labor Zionist Jews, at the head, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all these people, they really are stateless. They don't have this affection that you and I have, Lou, for Plymouth. But we still call upon the Rockefeller family to repent and go back to their Christian roots. You and I have a great love. We will have it till the day we take our last breath of Colonial Williamsburg. Is that not correct, Lou?
Yes, it's a beautiful place.
And it has wonderful ideals. Of course, during the Obama years, that's when we knew that it wasn't pure anymore. It wasn't pristine. They had Muslim Brotherhood members in a part of a world conference there. But we still believe that there are some good hearts in the Rockefeller family. And we're speaking specifically of Jay Rockefeller and his wife, Sharon. Sharon, whose twin was murdered, and there was some kind of a political ill kind of thing that we see in the deep state done probably there, so that we think that perhaps for their children's sake, they would want the Rockefeller name to be associated with only the glorious things like Colonial Williamsburg. Because we do have to admit, whatever the Rockefellers do, they do well. They do Citibank well. The fraud alerts, everything that comes from Citibank is done well and efficiently. Some of these globalists need to repent, because then what kind of a wonderful world could we see happening? We could see great help to the masses under Jesus Christ. So, you know, we have to pray for our adversaries, because they're lost. I've gone off on my soapbox, but I think it was important. So now, Lou, what do we go to next? We're getting to the police state. Do you have something before I have Illinois going to jail the parents?
Well, I have something here about that movie, the Civil War movie.
Oh, yes. And again, we're saying that the New World Order has to acclimate us. That's their moral code to what may be coming or what they want to push on us.
That's right. Along with the open borders takedown, the New World Order wants to build hate and division that leads to a civil war. We've heard the Illuminati, oh, so morally, telegraphs its plans in advance, often through TV, movies, and books. So here we have a title, Inside the Civil War, Alex Garland's provocative take on what a second American conflict could look like. This is March 28th, EW.com, and by Christian Holub, H-O-L-U-B. Could an American Civil War happen again? Ever since the destructive clash between North and South, almost 200 years ago, oceans have separated American homes from battlefields. But as domestic politics have become intensely polarized around seemingly intractable issues, and defined by love or hate figures such as Donald Trump, many people on all sides have wondered openly what a second domestic conflict might look like. This spring, Alex Garland has an answer. Civil War, Garland's fourth film as a director, after making his name as a screenwriter of brainy genre flicks, including 28 Days Later and Never Let Me Go, places viewers right at the center of an American nightmare. This vision of domestic disorder feels especially resonant after the mass protests of 2020 and if insurrectionists storming the halls of Congress in 2021, not to mention the fact that this is another election year when political differences are especially heightened. And here we have a quote from Garland. Very often I find myself writing about something that lots of other people are also thinking and writing about.
I have to interrupt. You know, I heard that ding, ding, ding alert, the New World Order alert. There was another article that we rejected bringing to the microphone because it was supposedly someone on the Patriot side, but just calmly calling it the insurrection of January 6th. And we really resent that term. And in this article, too, the insurrectionists, no. Why aren't they not talking about the paid agent provocateurs? We had a very good clergyman who had been down there, and he watched the buses being brought in with these agents provocateur. And so we have to know the truth is not that those Trump supporters were creating an insurrection. We had a lot of other Soros money and everything else put in to the Antifa types who were there. So we won't stand for this, calling patriots insurrectionists. We won't stand for a government that jailed Stuart Rhodes, the Oath Keepers head, a lawyer, a constitutional lawyer. This is an effort to begin to shut up the intelligentsia of America, the leaders, J. just the way Mao Zedong went for the men and women who wore glasses first, because they're nearsighted. They read a lot of books. We won't put up with it. And now, let's move back. What else is in this story here about this movie that may be a predictor, they hope?
Well, Garland tells Entertainment Weekly, quote, "I remember when I released Ex Machina, there were a whole bunch of AI movies around at the same time. And the Civil War narrative feels like a big anxiety right now. I wrote it 4 years ago." And that concludes that little...
Very interesting. Now let's move to the real police state, the moral depravity. This isn't speculation. This is something shocking that has happened. The People's Voice, February 23rd, Illinois, to begin jailing parents who refuse to transition their kids. Authorities in Illinois are set to begin arresting parents who object to gender transitioning their children, despite the medical and psychological risks associated with puberty blocking and surgery. The new law, Bill 4876, and I'm just looking at the numerology of that. I believe that it is a 7 if we add that all up. 8 and 4 is 12. 19, it's a 25, yes, it would be a 7. You know, that just shows us that we can't look at things for numerology all the time either. We know that it's pretty clear with biblical numerology that an 11 is often associated with judgment, but a 7 is associated with God's perfection. This is far from God's perfection. So, you know, let us not get too caught up in any kind of an analysis that might become fanatical. People who thought there was going to be a great gathering of the elect right at the time of the eclipse. Someone who's connected with our listeners thought this and was upset later. No, listeners, we have to go to the Bible. The Bible never said there will be some kind of a premature gathering like this. Did it, Lou?
No, it never did.
No, and we have to differ on some doctrine with some dear Christian friends. We cannot accept the Seventh-day Adventist position that there isn't a hell where people are burning forever, that, quote, Ellen G. White said in her book, The Great Controversy, they go into oblivion. And we had some other Seventh-day Adventist friends who wrote us that it was basically like a peaceful sleep, like an annihilation. God never said that. Lou, you'd have to find the scripture, but you mentioned something about the worm. Jesus said, didn't he, that it burns forever? What do you recall?
Yeah, I'd have to look up that scripture. I'm sure it's in Matthew. But basically, Jesus is saying, you know, these people are going to be condemned to eternal hell. It's not going to be a pleasant time.
So, you know, let's not go way outside the Bible to be analyzing things that disagree with it, that do not fit. So there are going to be some mysteries that we'll never know, of course, that. But let's increase our Bible reading. I certainly want to do that for myself. Lou has been starting to do it more in evenings, but I haven't yet. But let's get back to this hideous new law. Modernity News reports, the legislation would also allow for the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, DCFS, to take children away from their parents for opposing such procedures. If your mother and father were alive, they wouldn't believe that this was happening in America.
No, and neither would your parents.
Oh, no. China, maybe. But they would even be shocked at that. The legislation also allows for minors to be afforded the same legal status as adults when it comes to abortion. Do we see, listeners, we're interrupting to say that the state now owns your children. The parents are not going to have the authority over them if we permit this. Back to the article, the text of the bill states consent to the performance of abortion services and gender-affirming services executed by a minor is not voidable because of such minority. It further notes that, quote, a healthcare professional rendering abortion services and gender-affirming services shall not incur civil or criminal liability for failure to obtain valid consent or professional discipline for failure to obtain valid consent if the healthcare professional relied in good faith on representations made by the minor. Lou, this is giving children adult rights.
It is, and it's actually giving, as I see it, not being a lawyer, but as I see it, it's giving rights that do not apply in most other situations, even to adults. If someone, you know, messes up on some kind of medical procedure, you can sue for malpractice. And it sounds very much like, in this case, that can't be done. It's taking away a basic right.
Isn't that interesting? That shows how diabolically evil our country has become in many areas. We must stand up against this. This is just terrible. We bring up the millstone passage. That is in the Bible. And Jesus made the threat toward the people who would harm the little ones, and this is certainly part of it. Back to the article. Activist group Awake Illinois has launched a campaign against the legislation. Oh, we say right on, right on. Dubbing it anti-parent and anti-child, founder Shannon Adcock urged action against the incredibly radical bill, noting in Illinois, parents who are considered child abusers can lose custody of their children if, in this case, they do not affirm transgender drugs, surgical procedures such as penis and breast removal. If a minor opts for this and you as a parent deny that, that means that you are considered an abuser of a child, Adcock further warned. The maximum punishment for child abuse in Illinois is $25,000 in fines and 15 years in prison. Appearing on Joe Rogan's podcast this week, Dr. Phil McGraw slammed gender surgeries on children, pointing to a dearth of long-term studies. Quote, all the major medical associations have signed off on this, Joe, McGraw said, adding, quote, I have never seen those organizations sign off on anything with less information as to whether or not it does long-term harm of anything in my life. And when I ask about that, when I bring that up, then they immediately label you as transphobic. Listeners, we are living in pre-Great Tribulation times, I think. Unless this is reversed, unless all of the Christians in America begin to stand up for their families and to end this abominable, barbaric thing, it's just equivalent to those Aztecs taking a child up and cutting their heart out in a murderous rite, isn't it, Lou?
It's not so different, that's for sure.
Well, you know, I get so upset over this, but we have to go on.
Yes. Now, here's a vital moral update. Actual persecution of Bible-believing, quoting Christians, is getting closer and closer. God bless Representatives Lemelin and Shelley. And this is from the Fort Fairfield Journal, Fort Fairfield, Maine, by David Shane. The headline, Maine House and Senate pass bill allowing for trafficking of minors to Maine for transgender sex change surgery. Dateline, Augusta, Maine. Wednesday night, April 10th, 2024, was a long night, both literally and figuratively. The Maine House of Representatives has been putting in many hours this week, voting on mostly odious legislation late into the night. Lest one think that this is some kind of aberration or quirk, the House Democratic leadership made clear earlier in the week that voting on bills in the middle of the night was actually part of that strategy this session. Quote, when asked whether it was good practice to make significant budget changes in the middle of the night, Maine House Majority Leader Maureen Moterry said, absolutely. We do a lot of things in the middle of the night towards the end of the session, the Gorham Democrat said. It's sort of the nature of the beast.
Did you catch that phrase, listeners? The beast. We are in the beast. And we are in American Babylon. Now, let's think about this. It was not just all of those illegal migrants in Massachusetts, but it was the bill to not prioritize the veterans over the homeless. Then we moved to Illinois, actually locking up parents for 15 years, besides fining them $25,000 if they didn't want their children's breasts or penises cut off if they didn't go along with it. And now we have Maine. Don't we see the country is falling? It's not falling to the Red Chinese. It's not falling to civil war. It's falling to Satan and the reprobate mind. Where are the people who are Christians? Where are the Christian pastors? Oh, Lou, keep telling us about this.
So, it was not surprising that the Maine House put off voting on one of the most controversial bills of the year, LD 227, named an Act Regarding Health Care in the State.
I guess this numerology does fit. 227, it is an 11.
That's so true.
Judgment. God's judgment is hovering near.
That's right. So they put the vote off until past 7 p.m. after a late afternoon of considering bills regarding minimum wage hikes for both educational technicians and farm workers, and then did not vote on this bill until 11 p.m. The bill has widely become known as the Transgender Trafficking Bill, but it has provisions to allow for abortion trafficking as well. It gives legal immunity. There you go again. That same kind of thing. It gives legal immunity to doctors who perform sex changes on minor children and allows for minors to be kidnapped in other states and transported to Maine for sex change operations or abortions without parental consent.
Actually, kidnap. That phrase is in there.
That's the very word used here.
Shocking.
By David Duchaine. Yes.
Shocking.
The House gallery was only sparsely populated due to the legislation being taken up in the middle of the night in the middle of work week. Paid lobbyists dominated the few dozen people who observed the proceedings, although the public is allowed to attend and politely observe. Senate President Troy Jackson's brother, Chase Jackson, was in attendance being a paid lobbyist for the Resurgam Group lobbying firm. Also, several well-known, well-paid-out lesbian lobbyists were in the gallery. Betsy Sweet and Laura Harper of Moose Ridge Associates and Charlotte Warren, also a former legislator herself. When LD 227 was announced to be taken up for consideration by Speaker of the House, Rachel Talbot Ross, she immediately commented that 9 members were in line to speak to the bill. So everyone knew then that it would be hours of floor speeches both for and against the bill. And Mickey Schultze and Mickey Carmichael, among others, each gave powerful and impassioned speeches opposing the bill, but to no avail. The bill's fate was mostly a foregone conclusion, ultimately passing 80 to 70, with just 1 or 2 legislators from each party crossing the aisle and voting differently than the majority of their peers. The drama continued well after the vote concluded, however, and one of the dozen or more House floor speeches, Representative Mike Lemelin spoke prophetically to the past consequences of immoral bills passed by this legislature, and further prophesied to what he felt might be future consequences to the passage of LD 227. Lemelin spoke in plain language and cited the Bible prominently in his remarks, noting how God had dealt with Sodom and the land during the time of Noah, and the plagues he brought forth during the time of captivity in Egypt. These references and condemnations did not sit well with the majority Democrats, several of whom interrupted his remarks and rose to condemn his floor speech. Immediately after Lemelin concluded his remarks, Representative Shelley Rudnicki, Republican of Fairfield, rose to state exactly one brief sentence in support of her colleague, Lemelin, and to express support of his comments. Her remarks lasted about 15 seconds. The following day, on Thursday, April 11th, Speaker Talbot Ross filed censure measures against both Lemelin and Rudnicki.
Again, there's the judgment day.
That's right. And those were recorded in that day's House calendar. Talbot Ross stated the conduct of both Lemelin and Rudnicki was reprehensible. The full House voted unanimously, without comment or a roll call vote, to allow the censure of both Republican legislators.
That's so shameful. You know, we'll be watching the weather. We wouldn't be surprised that representatives' remarks about Sodom have some parallel at some future future time. This is just amazing. Good is evil, evil is good. Censuring them for their remarks. Go ahead.
David DeShane uses the same word you just used. Shamefully, the entire main House Republican caucus allowed this to occur without opposition to the measures. Both Lemelin and Rudnicki were forced to issue brief, three-sentence, largely perfunctory public formal apologies, which were read aloud on the House chamber floor and published in the following day's House calendar for Friday, April 12th.
That's shameful, too.
Yes, that is shameful.
And they should never have done that. They should never have done that Neville Chamberlain business of appeasing, placating.
Yes.
No. God said that in the Bible, if we're lukewarm, he's going to spit us out of his mouth. I'm not saying that those people will be spit out because they weren't lukewarm in what they did, but they should not have given in to that degree.
No, they shouldn't have. The bill has since passed the Maine Senate and has been presented to Democrat Governor Janet Big Sister Mills for either passage with or without her signature or the issuance of a veto. The governor has 10 days to make a decision, but she rarely has taken the full amount of time allowed to her to decide. The final takeaway from this bill's saga is the utter animosity and acrimony between the parties in this legislature. This and several other bills taken up over the past 2 years have been the most controversial imaginable. Abortion, transgender immorality, guns, which has led to the Republicans being steamrolled by the Democrats time and time again. For the Republicans, this is only bitterness, bordering on anger, tinged with fatalism and hopelessness. The opposite is true for the Democrats. Elections have consequences, and this truism, borne out in full, will be the epitaph of the 131st Maine Legislature.
Let them rest in peace. Then we have the Gateway Pundit, Margaret Flavin, March 8th. Actress posing as 14-year-old gender-confused girl receives testosterone prescription, life-altering mutilating surgery consultation within minutes at Canadian clinic. We can see that this is the beast system, and it is worldwide. And listeners, we can always count on Trudeau's new Canadian home of the MAID euthanasia program for this blatant kind of aid to Satan. Anyway, the article says the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC, released a disturbing documentary on the gender, quote, transitioning of children in Canada. The documentary shows an actress, Sasha, posing as a 14-year-old patient who says she is trans. After a brief consultation at a private, quote, gender clinic in Quebec, she received a testosterone prescription. Further, she was advised on life-altering mutilating surgeries during the consultation, which lasted only 9 minutes, and was during her first appointment. The doctor also started asking her about surgeries and if she wanted to preserve her fertility after only 5 minutes.
Now from Natural News, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation trying to undermine British report that details the dangers of transgender interventions on children. By Laura Harris, April 22nd, 2024. The taxpayer-funded Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC, is trying to undermine the findings of the United Kingdom's National Health Service's CAS review, detailing the dangers of medical transgender interventions on children by citing contradicting findings from international medical bodies. CAS review is the world's largest review into transgender interventions for minors. Hilary Cass, a pediatrician commissioned by the UK's NHS to review available transgender services for dysphoric minors, found that, quote, gender medicine, unquote, is, quote, built on shaky foundations, and that while these drastic interventions should be done with extreme vigilance, quote, quite the reverse happened in the field of gender care for children, unquote. And in a related article, top North Carolina health systems push transgender mutilation of children. Continuing, we have this quote, while a considerable amount of research has been published in this field, systematic evidence reviews demonstrated the poor quality of the published studies, meaning there is not a reliable evidence base upon which to make clinical decisions are for children and their families to make informed choices, Cass wrote in the report. The report also includes key findings such as the rationale for early puberty suppression remains unclear, with weak evidence regarding the impact on gender dysphoria, mental or psychosocial health. The effect on cognitive and psychosexual development remains unknown. The use of feminizing hormones in those under the age of 18 also presents many unknowns, despite their longstanding use in the adult transgender population. The lack of long-term follow-up data on those commencing treatment at an earlier age means we have inadequate information about the range of outcomes for this group. Clinicians are unable to determine with any certainty which children and young people will go on to have an enduring trans identity. Moreover, Cass commissioned the University of York in Northern England to conduct several analyses as part of the review. As it turned out, the researchers found that 23 reviewed clinical guidelines, quote, were not independent or evidence-based, unquote, because those studies were written by activists driven by ideology, not medicine. But the CBC has tried to downplay the revelations in this article.
Jonathan Van Meren, a public speaker, writer, and pro-life activist, argued in his article written for the LifeSite News that the CBC did not explain why many European countries are turning away from these treatments. For instance, Belgium and the Netherlands have joined the growing list of European countries reconsidering the use of puberty blockers, particularly in children, after the publication of the Cass Review. In Belgium, medical professionals are advocating for reforms in gender care for children and adolescents, urging a shift akin to the practices observed in Sweden and Finland. These countries view hormonal treatments as a last resort, rather than relying on puberty blockers as a primary intervention. Similar pressure is mounting in the Netherlands, where Parliament has initiated research into the physical and mental health impacts of puberty blockers on adolescents. Even institutions like the Amsterdam Center of Expertise on Gender Dysphoria, which previously supported the Dutch protocol, are now reconsidering their stance. Britain, which has recently restricted the use of puberty blockers to individuals under 18, followed suit. Originally integrated into gender treatments, these blockers were widely adopted based on the, quote, Dutch protocol, pioneered in the Netherlands in 1998. However, recent scrutiny has led to a reassessment of their efficacy and safety. This shift is reflected in the recent actions of countries like Finland, Sweden, Norway, and Denmark, which have implemented tighter restrictions on hormone treatments for adolescents. And we would have to interject there that why isn't American Babylon following some of those trends? These are sanity revival moves, in our opinion. It's just a humanitarian kind of thing to be looking at the real statistics of what these programs have done and what they do. So we can see there that Sweden and Finland are making this shift, and that possibly the Netherlands is following behind, and that Britain has recently restricted the use of puberty blockers to individuals under 18. This is a good trend. Now, this article does have more related stories. Listen to the titles of some of these. Protecting children from LGBT indoctrination, transgender mutilation now considered by leftists to constitute hate. Far-left human rights campaign partnered with Pfizer to push transgender mutilation on children. Psychotherapists announced plans to, quote, eradicate critics of transgender mutilation from medical profession. Whistleblower exposes Kaiser Permanente for performing genital mutilation procedures on children at its Southern California hospitals. Matt Walsh, blows lid on transgender body butchering industry that mostly targets children. Then we move right on to top doctor blows the whistle. Chemicals in vaccines are turning kids trans. This is Baxter Dimitri, April 28th, the People's Voice. Have you ever stopped and asked yourself why there are suddenly so many trans people, and in particular, very young trans kids? Seems like every liberal celebrity in America is in possession of at least one transgender child in 2024, but the answer is more than just fashion. There is a war being waged against our children. According to a leading doctor, and aborted fetal cells in vaccines are turning children transgender as part of a wider plot to destabilize society, nuke the nuclear family, and irreparably damage our kids. It's time to stop asking why they are doing this to us, and time to ask, why are we letting them? Everything we are going through at the moment is a test to see how far the system can push us. Never forget their crimes, because they are planning to do them all again soon and worse. Take their war against our children, for example. Not content with sexualizing children from young ages and normalizing pedophilia, the global elite are also pumping them full of chemicals, hormones, and vaccine ingredients designed to destroy their hormonal balance and create lost generations. As Dr. Ben Tapper explains, the aborted fetal parts used widely in modern vaccines is causing an epigenetic influence to the developing nervous system that is responsible for the sudden explosion in children who identify as the opposite of their birth gender. Since Dr. Ben Tapper started speaking the truth, he has been targeted by the government to be silenced and deplatformed. His accounts sharing important truth were reaching millions of people per month until Biden called him out on national television and his accounts got deleted. Is there a little more that you have on that, Lou?
Yes, quite a bit more. It's time
I think
for
we may have to, well, let's get a little bit of it.
All right. It's safe to say the elite are very sensitive about this issue, and for this reason, it has never been more important to hear what Dr. Tapper has to say.
And we'll get into more of that probably next week. We know that Alex Jones years ago talked about some of the chemicals that are in our foods and water and so forth that's turning the frogs into hermaphrodites. In other words, their sex got confused. So there are some physical factors involved, we think, in this. We are not scientists, but we do bring you the news, and we bring it to you without compromise. Do what you can for the Lord. Call your senators, 877-762-8762. 877-762-8762. Tell them we do not want the WHO treaty ratified in America. Good night.